I'm supposed to go ahead, according to KP here. So I guess that means we're going to be recorded properly. Okay, I want to give a satsang. Satsang means spiritual instruction. And also, it also means coming together in the presence of the teaching for the uplifting and the up vibration. And I want to talk a little bit about the question, are you pulling the wool over your eye? And notice it's not, are you pulling the wool over your eyes? Okay, but I'm really referring to the eye, the spiritual eye, or the third eye, or what we work with as the spiritual eye, the upper part of the third eye, where the spiritual centers are. Okay, and there's a story told of a great master in olden times. And he was asking his students, and he had many, many students, and they were students of the sound current. And he was asking his students to contribute wool, because he was collecting wool so that he could give this wool to the poor people of his village and of the surrounding villages. And wool in those days was very much like currency is today. You would trade for it, you would barter for it, and you would be judged as to status, etc., according to the amount of wool that you had. And he had asked his students to give him wool so that he could give to others. And he was walking in the village one day, and he ran into the wife of one of his students, who was also a student. And she told him, oh, my husband, he has no wool to part with. He can't give up his wool. And the teacher thanked her and just hurried along on his errands, etc. And the very next day, he ran into her husband, who was also his student, and he was wearing this wonderful woolen sweater. And he promptly showed off the sweater to his teacher and also informed him that he was going to collect more wool so that he could add length to the sweater, have a longer sweater, and indeed have some of the wool dyed different colors. And he promptly informed the teacher that this would mean that he had more status. The more wool, the longer the sweater, the more colors he had in the sweater meant the more status he had. And the teacher thanked him for the information and walked away. And as he walked away, because he was a teacher of the sound current or the Holy Spirit, and the spiritual energy was always with him and present, he simply asked, in the way that he would, he asked the Lord God to hasten the progress of his students and for them to recognize the opportunity they had had in the lesson that he was giving them. Because what he was giving them was real simple. Okay? Being a teacher, he didn't need to get the wool from his students. Okay? He could simply have gotten it from anyone and anywhere. Okay? But he asked his students so that they may learn. And really, the learning was very simple. And he knew he was in trouble with that particular husband and wife team when the wife said his wool. He will not part with his wool. Because what the student needed to learn was the false identification. And if it was his or hers, then he was separate from the spirit. It's really all God's. And that was the learning that the teacher wanted to impart. It's all God's will. And that if you surrender to that and come into the knowing of that, you're supplied, because spirit takes care of itself and always gives. Okay? And the teacher also knew that mankind struggles with the identity, the false identity, and the ego identity of this person isolated in the universe. And so when the spouse said, oh yeah, my husband won't part with his will, there was this separate being, this ego in the universe. So he was isolated from the spirit he was and from all of creation. And the teacher was giving him an opportunity to come to know himself as spirit, to come to know the supply, and to identify himself properly. If he knew that he was spirit, then guess what? He would have said, teacher, take all my wool. I don't need the wool. And of course, what would have happened would have been that he would have gotten all the wool that he ever needed. The student would have, because the spirit supplies. See, but also the student was going for the things of the world. If I keep the wool, I'll have more status. I'll be more highly regarded by others. And so the wise teacher also was giving the student an opportunity to let go of the things of the world and the drivenness for power and for status, etc. Okay, because the teacher, being spirit in manifestation, knows something that the student needs to come into the learning of, and that is that we are spirit, that is our proper identity, and that is eternal, and we are eternal. And all problems that humankind has comes from the false identity with ourselves in time and space. And so the teacher, in his wisdom and in his grace, was giving his students that opportunity. And today, he probably would not use wool, but he'd probably use the current currency. He may use frequent flyer miles. He may use clothing or so, to impart those lessons to the student. That it's not ours, it's not yours, that you're not sitting over there and you're not sitting over there isolated, but that we're all one in the oneness of the Holy Spirit, in the oneness of the sound current. That's the reality. Anything else is illusionary. You're sitting on the couch. We all agree that it's a solid couch, okay? Except any scientist knows you're crazy to think that way. That's not solid. That there are atoms swirling around in space. But for the sake of this physical reality, we all agree to play this game. Okay, the chair is solid, the couch is solid, etc. When it's not, okay? And the same thing with the ego, that, yeah, it's a separate identity. And we all agree that you're this person, you're that person, you're that person, and that's how we work it in the physical, okay? But that's all part of the illusion. And the teacher was bringing that lesson forward. See? And so often we like to pull the wool over our eye and think we're separate. And we also think we're not responsible for our creations. You know, I had a talk the other day with a student, and it was a nice opportunity for that student to surrender the agenda that this particular student had, and it wasn't taken. And then the student said, oh, please, 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 you know. You know, can I get another chance? Oh, yeah, you'll get all the chances you want. But that's not the point. The point is, you chose that. You're responsible, you see? And so the teacher was giving, in that instance, I was giving this student an opportunity to see how powerful that particular student really is. Yeah, this is your creation and you're responsible. So there's responsibility and how powerful we are. See, we're responsible anyway, whether we know it or not. See, Jesus the Christ said, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And the law was the karmic law. See? Now, it's interesting to me that law, it's so dependent upon interpretations. You can have a law and it has to be interpreted this way or it'll be interpreted that way. Or you can use one case for a precedent and then use the very same case for the exact opposite precedent. Okay? But spiritual law is not subject to interpretation or vagaries or anything else like that. Spiritual law is real simple. Okay? It's not open to our mental machinations. Okay? It's an impersonal force, and it's a very loving force, but it's impersonal, and it doesn't matter what the hell we think of it. It's irrelevant. It operates anyway. Okay? But I don't teach karma and reincarnation. I teach grace. And many of you really pull the wool over your eyes when you think that grace means you're not responsible. Oh, yeah, can I get, another chance? Or can we pretend that didn't happen? Well, no, it did happen. And you are responsible. You're karmically responsible. And through grace, you'll get the opportunity to learn what you need to learn. Maybe other ways than through the physical. Okay? But you're responsible. And many of you pull the wool over your eye by thinking, grace equals not responsible. Well, that's not so. You are responsible. And it must be handled. Okay? And I've cited this example many times. Okay, let's just say you need to have something balanced. Okay, let's just say you robbed someone in a previous lifetime, and so you're going to get robbed this time. Okay, and through grace, it doesn't mean it's not going to be balanced. It will be balanced, and you will need to experience and learn how it is to go against the spirit you are and how it is to be violated, etc., and to violate others and not to respect the spirit you are. Okay? Grace doesn't mean you won't learn that or that you will be cheated out of your learning. That's not what grace is. But through grace, okay, instead of being robbed where you suffer tremendous loss, you may be robbed of 50 cents. Or $100 or something like that. Or you may experience the robbery and have the learning in a dream. Or you may experience it in the spirit while you're busy, let's say, doing your laundry or working in the job or so. But you're going to get the learning. And you are karmically responsible. And you pull the wool over your eye when you think you're not. Or that grace means you're not responsible. You are. Okay? If you've killed someone in a previous life, you may get to experience that. You'll have to experience that. Okay? But through grace, it may not be in the physical. You may have a dream. It may be handled any which way it's handled through the Master's grace. But you'll have that learning and you're responsible for it. Okay? And another way we like to pull the wool over our eye is to think we're not powerful. Oh, it doesn't matter. And that we don't affect other people. Okay? And we've done this in some classes where we ask you to have a negative thought, etc., etc. And you get to see how it affects you, but you also get to see, because we're all one, how it affects everyone else. You see? And you know, there's chaos theory has that a butterfly flapping its wings in Australia can cause a hurricane in, you know, in the exact opposite end of the globe. Okay, so we know that. We know how one affects the other, okay? But, see, if we can get past the idea of my will, his will, my husband's will, and we know we're all one, then guess what? Then, of course, where you focus and what you hold, the negativity you hold, the thoughts you hold, the feelings you hold, affect all of creation. Affect all of creation. Okay? And each one is affected because the consciousness is truly one. You see? So guess what? If you lift, if you decide to drop negativity and you lift, you affect everyone. You make it easier for each soul to lift because that's one less soul holding negativity. See? So the resistance, as it were, or the negativity or the solidness of the mass, so to speak, lessens, and it gets easier for a soul to also make that switch. See? And we kid ourselves. We pull the wool over our eye if we think we don't affect others. We're responsible individually, but we're also affecting others. Okay, and yeah, the teacher, the sound card master, all things go through his consciousness, sure, okay? But he's not a freak. He's not an aberration. You know, he's just like you, only more so. So the same thing is true for you. You may not know it yet. You may not realize it yet. But it's also true for you, so that you're very much affected by what others hold in their consciousness, because we're all one. Okay, so as you let go and surrender, see, and isn't really spiritual progress about surrendering and uniting your consciousness with that of God? When you let go and surrender and lift into the Spirit, then guess what? You help others. You're not helping to hold others there. So the best thing you can do for the human race is to get on with your own spiritual progression. Okay? Now, I know that Christians teach do good deeds. Okay? Well, that won't affect humanity 0.1% of how humanity is affected by just focusing on your own spiritual progression. And we pull the wool over our eye if we think that ultimately we're not going to have to do that. All souls will return home to God. So that's the plan. And the time it takes is called reincarnation. That's just the game plan. That's the blueprint. You know, and it's very interesting that all the Western religions and the Eastern religions still have it. All spoke of this. All spoke of karma and reincarnation. But you can't have the clergy be in business and have karma and reincarnation because they're surrogates, aren't they? They'll be responsible for our progression. Well, guess what? Doesn't work that way. Each of us is responsible. And we pull the wool over our eye if we think we're not. Okay? Or, you know, I had an interesting discussion the other day also with a student, and basically the gist of it was that, hey, you know, your action affected this action. And instead of an apology, it was, oh, no, I did this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this to correct it. Well, that doesn't mean anything. It's already been done and has already affected the other person. Okay? And we kid ourselves if we're going to, quote, right the wrong and make believe that that's okay. Well, it doesn't work that way. We're still responsible. You know, if you put $2 in the box for the bus after, if the fare's only $1.50 because the previous time you cheated the bus company out of the 50 cents, so you'll get 50 cents more, that doesn't balance it out. Okay? So we can't balance stuff out ourselves. And we pull the wool over our eye if we think we can. You know, and many souls walk around, okay, I'm going to balance my karma. I'm going to balance my karma. Well, good luck to you. You know, you'll never balance your karma because while you're busy balancing your karma, guess what? A is there's not enough time for you to do it in all the reincarnations. B is you're still going to create more karma while you're busy doing it. Okay, and C is it precludes the actions of the Lord God or the action of grace. Okay, you can't do it yourself. If you could do it yourself, then guess what? There'd be no need for the Christ. And I don't mean the religious figure, but I'm talking about the Christ, that consciousness that is present with each of us and that has to do also within us of when we become one with the will of God. Our will and God's will becomes one. Then we become Christed. Okay, we have the Christed consciousness manifest also. Okay, but that particular energy field or force field responsible for souls on this planet is the office of the Christ. And there'd be no need for this particular spiritual office if we could do it ourselves. Okay, but doing it, try cleaning your hands when both hands are muddy. You can't do it. Okay, so God in his wisdom and his mercy, he's provided a way. Okay, and that's the way of grace. Okay, and that's his extension into this world. And it's his love and his compassion. And you're pulling the wool over your eye if you think it's not here. If you think it's not available, or if you think you have to earn it. And many of us walk around thinking we have to earn God's love, we have to earn his grace, etc. Well, how do you earn grace? It wouldn't be grace if you had to earn it. And you're just wasting your time trying to earn it. But what you need to do is place your consciousness where you can receive it, which is a consciousness of receptivity, which is surrendering your agenda and just being present with the spirit inside of yourself, even if you don't know what the hell is going to happen there or what's going to be there for you. You still hold to that place. Okay, and you're also pulling the wool over your eye if you think that you won't be responsible for your debts. You are responsible for your debts. If you owe people money, pay them. Real simple. Okay, the story of Abraham Lincoln walking all that way to give back a penny is a real smart action that he took. Okay? If you think you don't have to pay your karmic debts, good luck to you. Okay? Everyone has to pay off karmic debts. Okay? They may be handled through grace, but they'll be paid off. And we create, you see, You need to understand how powerful you are, and that every thought and every feeling and every action, okay, that you have and that you persist in, you're responsible for, if it's an action or a thought or a feeling away from God. See? And I teach as one of the cornerstones of the teachings is service. And the reason I teach service is real simple. Service, and I mean service done with a loving heart, not full of resentment, not full of, you know, begrudging it, but service as an opportunity really to serve yourself by being with God while you're assisting others. Okay? In service, you're at attunement. You're at atonement. In other words, you're at the very frequency of God. And there is no karma in service. And there is no karma when we're inside with Spirit, loving God, sitting in adoration of God. See? It's not the God of the church. It's not dogma. It's not anything like that. But it's the direct experience. Okay? And God in His kindness has provided us a way. And there's a path home to God called the sound current. It's always been here. It always will be here. It's known in different languages. It's known in different religions. But when Jesus the Christ said, I'm the Word made manifest, the Word is the sound current. And He was the Word. He was the sound current made manifest. Okay? But the Christ was all of mankind fulfilled, each individual fulfilled. He was the fulfillment of the blueprint, of the plan. And that's what we are. Okay, we're in manifestation here. And what's in manifestation? Okay, but the sound. Okay, we may not be aware of it, but that's what we are. You know, and in the beginning, we chanted an old ancient name for God, you, H-U. Okay, and also, you is the first manifestation in the spiritual worlds of the Lord God Himself. The only frequency beyond that is the unmanifested one. Okay? And so many of us walk around going, well, it's only human or I'm only human. Yeah, but guess what? You, man, tells us who we are. Okay? We're manifestations of God. We're manifestations of the sound current. We're manifestations of the Holy Spirit. See, and in reality, our body's here. We're in the physical. Okay? Most of us, 90-95% of us, we live in the inner worlds of each person. The soul lives in the inner worlds, and we're asleep, and we lie dormant, or we're dead, okay? And God in His grace has a way to waken each soul through initiation into the sound current, and we pull the wool over our eye if we think that there's another way. Okay? We pull the wool over our eye if we think that you can fool God and fool the Spirit inside of you. You don't have to choose it now. That's fine. You know, God loves you. His love isn't going to stop. But eventually, every soul will go home, because wide is the way, but narrow is the gate that leads unto eternal life. It's very narrow. It's very narrow because there's only one way. Okay? And the camel laden down with stuff that couldn't go through, pass through that gate because it was too narrow, those are our worldly attachments. And we kid ourselves and pull the wool over our eye if we think we can progress spiritually and keep our attachments. We're not able to. Okay, because our attachments are the very thing that'll snap our soul back into this world, into another body, another body, and another body. And that's fine if you want to do it, but eventually you will have to master the Spirit inside of you See, we're not here to master the physical. We're not here to be perfect emotionally. We're not here to be perfect mentally or any of that stuff, okay? But we are here to perfect the spirit that we are, because that's where we're going to wind up. You know, I've never, ever seen a soul in the body that was in the grave. Never seen one. Ain't never happened. Soul leaves the body before the body drops. So the body doesn't go on, the soul goes on. And we pull the wool over our eye if we think that we can focus and build things here and create attachments here, and that we're going to take those attachments and those things of the world, the status, the power, all the things that that student was trying to have more wool for. We mistake ourselves if we think we can take that before God, or take any of that stuff into heaven. We can't. See? And the spiritual heavens sit inside of us, and we enter them in the soul body. But we can't go there in the soul body, okay, unless we've woken up all the levels in the negative worlds. And that has to do with freeing and clearing our attachments. And so where we focus is where we wind up. We focus into the spirit we are, and if we walk the path exactly as we're taught, that's where we end up. When the eye is single, meaning the spiritual eye is single, then the body is alight, then all of the soul body is lit up. We have to be single-minded, and we pull the wool over our eye if we think we could dissipate our energies or dissipate our focus. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be in a monastery all day, 24 hours a day, meditating. Not at all. Doesn't mean you have to be a hermit. Doesn't even mean you have to be a hermit crab. It's a little joke there, but okay. But it does mean that regardless of what your body is doing, inside yourself, you need to be present with the spirit you are. Okay? And all this stuff we find, all our habits, all our habitual ways of being, all our miscombobulated thoughts and thinkings and manipulations, they're all the result of karmic patterns. And there's nothing in the spiritual lore that says you have to keep them. And you pull the wool over your eye if you think you're nothing without your patterns or your karma. Okay? But the real truth is that you're everything without them. And those are the very things that stand in the way. Your creations away from the spirit you are the very things that stand in the way and separate you from the spirit and make you seem isolated. See, you've kicked God out. God hasn't kicked us out of the Garden of Eden. We've kicked God out of the Garden of Eden. And we've done this by our creations away from him. Okay? But God, in his mercy and his kindness, he gives us a way home. And you're pulling the wool over your eye if you think you don't have to take it. You do. That's the way. And whether you run the excuse of, oh, I'm not good enough now, I'm not perfect, I'm not worthy, I'm this, I'm that, etc., etc. So, use all that stuff to go to God. All that stuff is forgiven. All that stuff doesn't have to stand in the way. There's nothing you can do to make God dislike you or to separate yourself from God. But what you can do is you can live as if you were separate from God. And that's the big illusion. And you're pulling the wool over your eye if you separate yourself out from God. Because that's death. And just like the death of dropping the body, just like death doesn't exist, the death in you that way doesn't exist either. But it's the illusion that you'll live under until you say, hey, wait a second now. I don't need to pull the wool over my eye. And if my teacher gives me the opportunity to identify myself properly as spirit and to give up the things of the world, the status, the power, the driving, the having to have money, all that kind of stuff as my source of my identity, then guess what? I get to be free. And then a weird thing happens. I have more of that anyway. I can only start to have money when I gave up my desire to have money. When I got neutral and free inside myself. There's something here this teacher is trying to teach me. And all of humanity lives under the pain of separation. And this pain is an awful pain. And that's why people do what they do. Drugs, drink, etc. And somewhere they're all trying to connect somewhere with the spirit, but they don't know how to do it. But God in his kindness, he's given us that way. And you pull the wool over your eye if you think you have to live in pain. Because you don't. And the pain we all labor under is the pain of the illusion of separation. And just in conclusion, I'm going to ask you to give it up each moment by dropping the things that separate you as they come up. An emotion, a thought, an action away from the spirit you are, your agendas, etc. You see, the power of who we are, it manifests in the total opposite way that we're taught. It doesn't manifest by having dominion over anyone, power over anyone, or anything like that. But the power is in surrender. The power is in allowing. And we pull the wool over our eye if we think we don't have to surrender. If we think we're not powerful, we are powerful. We're very powerful, and the power is in surrender to God and to the spirit inside of us. That's where the power is, and that's our magnificence, and that's what every soul has to learn. And you ain't going to get out of the system until you've mastered that lesson. It's real simple. That's the final exam. And if you don't think so, well, you've just pulled the wool over your eye once again. And we'll stop with that.